Hello there, friends, and welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and I am happy to continue reading scripture with you on our journey together through the New Testament. Today we are on day number 51 of our journey. We'll be reading Hebrews chapter 7. So grab your Bible if you can and listen closely if you will. And let's read God's word together. All right, today we are moving on to Hebrews chapter 7, where the author of Hebrews continues to explain and really try to nail down the superiority of Jesus' priesthood. Jesus is the great high priest, far above all other high priests. But before we get into that, let's look back at where we just came from. In the previous chapter, in chapter 6, the author warned us about apathy, drifting away, not to allow that to happen, to be on alert and to be diligent in our faith. He reminded us of faith and patience of those who inherit God's promises, and he reassured us of God's faithfulness. And he encouraged the readers to hold fast to their hope in him. Hold on. Anchor down. Anchor down. We have this anchor, right, of hope. Okay. And so as we read chapter 7, it's building on that, but now begins to nail down, like I said, that superiority of Jesus. And he compares to the priesthood of Melchizedek and how it foreshadows the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So let's look at that. And as we begin to read chapter 7, here's the look for us for this episode. The first one is, you're going to hear this name Melchizedek. We touched on it just a bit, but his priesthood. See, Melchizedek was a priest king. He blessed Abraham and he demonstrated superiority over Abraham. Now, the author is going to explain that Melchizedek's priesthood is far greater than the Levitical priesthood, or the priest of Levi, because of Abraham, the ancestor of the Levites, gave Melchizedek a tithe, and it shows superiority over Abraham. Okay, so watch for that, and then watch for the perfection of Jesus' priesthood. Now, we're going to see Jesus being described as a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. We're talking about that eternal nature of his priesthood. No beginning, no end, that he is eternally our high priest. And also notice how the scripture tells us today that unlike the Levitical priests, Jesus doesn't need to offer sacrifices for his own sins, but he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. And then finally, notice the change in priesthood. The author emphasizes that the change in priesthood from Aaron to Melchizedek, it almost makes it necessary for a change in the law as well. So Jesus, as a priest in the order of Melchizedek, he brings in a new and better covenant, a new promise, this promise that is bought by his blood. Jesus brings this whole new promise to us, and now we're the beneficiaries of just that, and kind of what the New Testament is grounded on, that salvation of the Messiah Jesus because of his death, because of his perfect sacrifice, and him being the perfect priest who enables us to access God the Father. Jesus gives us that perfect access because he's the perfect priest. So these are the things that we're going to see. It's a little bit hairy as we see a lot of Old Testament references and Melchizedek being explained, but that helps us to understand that better. So let's read the scripture. As I'm trying to put it in my own words, let's let the Bible do the talking, right? Hebrews chapter 7, we'll be in verse 1, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 28. All right, let's start in verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of God Most High, met Abraham and blessed him as he returned from defeating the kings. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means King of Righteousness. Then also Salem, meaning King of Peace. Without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Now consider how great this man was. Even Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the plunder to him. The sons of Levi who receive the priestly office have a command according to the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from the brothers and sisters, though they have also descended from Abraham. But one without this lineage collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. Without a doubt, the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, men who will die receive a tenth, but in the other case, Scripture testifies that he lives. And in a sense, Levi himself, who receives a tenth, has paid a tenth through Abraham, for he was still within his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Okay, now verse 11. Now, if perfection came through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to appear then? Said to be according to the order of Melchizedek, or not according to the order of Aaron? For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law as well. For the one of these things are spoken about belong to a different tribe. No one from it has served at the altar. Now it's evident that our Lord came from Judah, and Moses said nothing about that tribe concerning priests. And this becomes clearer if another priest like Melchizedek appears, who did not become a priest based on a legal regulation about physical descent, but based on the power of an indestructible life. For it has been testified. And then he quotes Psalm 110. For it has been testified, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In verse 18. So the previous command is annulled because it was weak and unprofitable, for the law perfected nothing. But a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. None of this happened without an oath. For others became priests without an oath, but he became a priest with an oath made by the one who said to him, and then he begins to quote again Psalm 110. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. And then verse 22. Because of this oath, Jesus has also become the guarantee of a better covenant, better promise. Now, many have become Levitical priests, since they are prevented by death from remaining in office. But because he remains forever, he holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. For this is the kind of high priest we need: holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day as high priests do, for their own sins first and then for those of the people. He did this once and for all time when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the promise of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son who has been perfected forever. And that is Hebrews chapter 7. Let's take a moment now to reflect and just absorb everything that we just read. So after reading Hebrews 7, here are some detail that may have jumped out and some takeaways that we have. We talked a lot about the superiority of Jesus' priesthood, how it's better, just better, superior, better than what we've seen before. The comparison between Melchizedek's priesthood and Jesus' priesthood talks about how Jesus' role as our high priest is better. Unlike the temporary sacrifices and the imperfect sacrifices that the Levitical priest made, over and over again, daily, they had to make those sacrifices for the forgiveness, redemption of sins. Oh, now Jesus comes along and he offered himself once and for all. And he provides eternal redemption for us. Let me say that again. He provides eternal, forever, never-ending redemption, saving us. We've been redeemed for us. Man, that should encourage us so much. It should encourage us to approach God with this just confidence, knowing that Jesus is always, continuously, day and night, interceding for us, right at the right hand of the Father. As the high priest intercedes, made that sacrifice, Jesus, the great high priest, makes that continuous eternal sacrifice, that his blood is enough to allow us permanent access to God the Father. And so what we can do is we should reflect on the significance of Jesus' priesthood in our lives. How do we do that? Well, we need to spend time in prayer. We need to thank him for his sacrifice continuously and seek his guidance and his continued intercession to work on behalf of us in our daily walks. Have a continuous conversation, building that relationship with the Father. See, he's a high priest that's approachable, that wants us to run to the Father because of the access he's given to us. The second takeaway is we need to remember the eternal nature of his priesthood. Eternal. He's described as a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, and that reference means no beginning, no end. Jesus is not limited by time. Jesus is not limited by space. Jesus is always available to intercede on our behalf. Jesus is always there working for us, no matter what challenges we face, no matter what difficulties come our way, no matter what roadblocks that we hit that we feel like we cannot get over. He is there. We can trust in the unchanging nature of Jesus. Eternal, not limited by time or space. He is right there with you, always. And so we need to take comfort in the fact that knowing that Jesus is with us, he is always with us, and allow this truth to strengthen our faith. Allow it to give us peace. That peace that passes understanding, but that is attainable through prayer, through relationship, through thanksgiving and supplication. If we pray, we have that relationship. We have that peace that is only offered that he wants to give us. Even in our most difficult times, we can have that peace that makes no sense at all, but only comes from God. And finally, this new covenant that is given to us in Christ. You see, the author clearly points out the change of priesthood from Aaron to Melchizedek signifies that there is a change in the law, and there's a new establishment of a covenant through Jesus Christ. Brand new. This new covenant, this new promise, this new law is based on grace and forgiveness. We are the recipients of this grace and forgiveness. We are offered a restored relationship with God. And as we are the recipients of this new covenant, we're called to live in obedience. We're called to seek a life where we are striving to be obedient to God's word and to share the good news of salvation to others. We have this opportunity. We have this ability. We should have such gratitude being on the receiving end of forgiveness and grace because we don't deserve it. Just look at our lives. Look at the times that we've chosen that wrong path, not to walk in obedience. But he loves us anyway, and he forgives us anyway, and we are shown grace anyway. And so the practical application of this is that we should live in the light of the new covenant by extending grace and forgiveness to others too. We've received it. How can we be the recipients of it if we cannot give it too? Just as God has given it to you, we should strive to give to others. And so this week, look, or today, in the next moments of your day, tomorrow, whenever you can apply this, look for opportunities to share the hope of salvation with those who've not experienced it yet, who have not experienced the transforming power of the love of Jesus Christ. If you've experienced, you have something special, you want others to have it too, and you can. All you have to do is tell them. That's an amazing promise. So many great things in this chapter 7. It seems hard to read at first, but it's not once we read through it and we unpack it. As I've read it many times, this most recent time that I've read, it's really spoke to my heart, and I hope it did you. We find ways we can apply this in our lives and be strengthened, be encouraged by this forgiveness, and find ways to share his love. Thanks for joining me today. I absolutely love this opportunity to read scripture with you. So, until next time, may you be blessed. May your family be blessed, and as a result, may you strive to be a blessing to everyone around you. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in. Let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.